It's time to make it count. We give professionals the knowledge, mindset, and habits to win at work and at home. I'm Freddie Bennett, Guinness World Record holder, business owner, adventurer, and author, giving you the tools to get unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed. The clock is ticking, so let's go and make it count. It's time to make it count. We are the world's favorite podcast for the professional services industry. And today, folks, I have got a real treat for you. I am super excited about this one. I am delighted to welcome to the virtual Make It Count studio, Lisa Martin, Executive Director of Go Figure. Lisa, welcome to Make It Count.
I am so delighted to be here too. So, you know, hashtag rushing on Freddie.
Hashtag loving it already. You just get a feeling sometimes. This is written in the accounting stars that I think we are going to have a great conversation, Lisa. I'm a huge fan of everything that you do, and we're going to dive into all the detail. To kick us off, let's start at the beginning. For anyone that hasn't heard about you and the great work that you do with Go Figure here in New Zealand, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so one of the things that kind of started here was, you know, background and growing up. And then I wondered how much of my childhood trauma you actually wanted me to bring up today. Because, I mean, it really has shaped the amazing person that I am today. Yeah, so I was actually put into a foster home when I was 18 months old, right through to the age of six. And then I went to go and live with my mother, and then I went to go and live with my father. And I think actually the growing up journey has actually shaped the fiercely independent person I am today. But again, some of those real sort of entrenched attitudes to kind of overachievement or perfectionism or working really hard or just trying to get a smile out of someone. And then, you know, once I'd finished my school journey, I thought, oh, I might go to university. And I was going to do like art history, and then I left that and I ended up working for this really fast-paced computer company. And you know how we talk about like the 13 hats that a business owner has? In that computer company, between the ages of sort of 18 and 22, I learned all the 13 hats. So I was really, you know, lucky to get so many opportunities. And that kind of forged being in sort of small business, running small business. And then I was introduced to Dale Carnegie and leadership. And then I went overseas. And when I was in the UK, I worked for another organization that also threw me into the deep end around that side of the accounts journey, inventory, stock, ordering, all of that sort of stuff. So it was a no-brainer that when I returned to New Zealand, I would end up being in a leadership position of small to medium-sized business with a real focus on accounts and finance, which I'm really good at, and HR, which I don't sort of feel that good at. But, you know, leadership skills must. And it was kind of when I was doing this sort of business management role for a multidiscipline design company that I went back to university and really fell on my feet with the whole, okay, let's get some technical, theoretical, financial skills behind me with regards to all the life experience that I've had. And then in 2002, my future was sort of freed up in terms of a redundancy. And I said to someone, what can I do? What do I do that no one else could do that I could sell? And someone said, this whole systemization of small to medium-sized business around their accounts and their HR and, you know, everything that makes a small business tick, that, and the fact that you could take that mobile to small to medium-sized business. And that's how GoFigure was born. And that was like 21 years ago. And, well, you know, it's kind of just got better and better every year as well, especially with the cloud.
What a story. Thank you. I think that may be a Make It Count record for us going very deep and very long in the first 5 minutes, which I absolutely love.
Firstly, well, you know, I'm a high achiever.
No, you absolutely are, Lisa. And I'd love to unpack some of this. Firstly, I have to get over the shock that 2002 was 21 years ago. I was like, what?
I know.
That feels like yesterday. And then I remember that what I was doing in 2002, and it clearly wasn't yesterday, thank goodness. But you're right. Let's Let's go back to the beginning and thank you. I make light of it, but thank you also for being so open and honest straight off the bat there in terms of your childhood. And if you feel comfortable with exploring that a little bit further, and as someone who came from a very chaotic, somewhat abusive childhood myself, I'm interested in unpacking this in terms of how do you feel that it shaped you in terms of resilience as the adult you are now?
Yeah, awesome word, resilience, because it's just that. One of the things I remembered when I was growing up was even sort of at the age of 9, just doing really sort of quite adult things, you know, kind of putting, for example, my mother to bed because she couldn't, or kind of, you know, praying to God, or what else could there have been, like making my own dinners, sorting out my own homework, you know, all sorts of things that sort of go on that. And actually thinking to myself, I can't wait until I'm older and then I won't have to rely on someone. I can't wait until I'm older and then I can go out and kind of, you know, be responsible for my own money or my own spending or my own roof over my head. And I think even then when you get into your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, and now I'm still in my 50s, you know, I've slowed down on the whole wanting to be older thing now, but it just feels like in a way I've wished my life away because of those things that sort of you were kind of trying to get away from when you're a child, and that just had so much impact on you. So yeah, it has made me fiercely independent, and I probably do have some real sort of trust issues. Like, you know, if you are in the inner circle, well done. But it takes a while to get in there. So, you know, it certainly has shaped me, but it was my experience. And I guess all I could say now is I'm incredibly grateful it's happened.
And I think it's a really powerful connection you make there. It's interesting. I've thought similar feelings, and I never had anyone else vocalize them before. And that's the reason why I went into the accounting industry, because I remember saying to myself as a child, all I want is a stable job with a stable paycheck and knowing there's going to be money and food on the table and everything else. So that's one of the reasons I went into a so-called safe career. And we're certainly going very deep very quickly in this episode, but I have to ask you this question, Lisa, because I ask it to myself and to other people sometimes for being in similar situations. If you could wave a magic wand and remove those childhood experiences from your memory, from your past, would you choose to do it or not?
No. I'd say probably in my 20s, I would have gone like, yeah, let's just get rid of that. Let's start again. You know, the whole sliding doors analogy, you know, take this path instead of that path. But, you know, I've had the luxury, I think, of some really awesome people in my life over the years that I would never have met if things had turned out differently. And I'm grateful and I appreciate what's actually happened, and you just have to make the best of it.
I totally agree. And I believe that the traumatic experiences that we go through in our life, even though they are painful at the time, they do make us who we are. And sometimes our soul and our spirit gets forged in the flames of discomfort at times. And even though it is painful, we have to take the harsh times with the not so harsh times. But moving forward onto a more positive note, in terms of leaving the childhood trauma and then going into the world of learning, and where did art history come about? Because that's not something you see all the time with someone that's now in the accounting industry.
Well, actually, when I was sort of perhaps in fifth or sixth form, yes, I am that old. It's none of these level businesses, but fifth or sixth form, I thought to myself, once I finish school and go to university, I want to be a psychiatrist, because I honestly saw myself sitting there solving people's problems, listening to their deep-rooted issues, thinking that I could do all that. And when I went to university, I still didn't really have a clear idea of the papers that I would sign up for. So I went for sort of like sociology and art history and Maori history and things like that were kind of quite, you know, feeling type subjects to sort of get me in the grain of going to university life. It was only later that I realized I actually loved the discipline of kind of, you know, a trial balance, something that balances in numbers and assets and not so much liabilities and things like that. Mm. So, and also the fact that it would have taken absolute years to go to, you know, university and become a doctor and do all the years of study to be a psychiatrist. And did I actually want to do that? Anyway, because actually in the work that we do at the moment, we can help people with a lot of their financial problems and solving them. So in a way, we're still a therapist.
Definitely. Well, no, I totally agree. And I say this as someone who, I say this as someone who's got a proud frame degree of geography and sociology myself. And so I definitely know where you're coming from. But it's so often said for accountants and business advisors, yes, the job title is to look at the numbers. But so often you're a therapist, a marriage counsellor, a life coach, all these different problem solvers rolled up into one. And is that something that you found through your career?
Yeah, because I mean, a big part of what we do when we're actually kind of, you know, providing a solution to our clients is they have to listen for obviously all the things that our clients will, you know, tell us and not tell us. Or we have to find in the data, in the numbers, the things that they haven't been able to verbalise. So, yeah, definitely love being that kind of, you know, problem solver for them in regard to that. And, yeah, totally. Just, you know, what is that? Two ears, one mouth.
we have those for a reason sometimes, don't we? Not the other way around. And when, as we progress through your career, with your experience at the computer company, then starting to learn the Dale Carnegie side of things, when did that concept of the interest in leadership skills come onto your radar? Was it something where you said, I want to be a leader, therefore I should learn these leadership skills? Or was it more of a natural progression than that?
Yeah, it sort of grew. Like, I was never kind of a silo about the things. I was always learning all of it. Like, you know, I referred to the 13 hats. Mm. So it really was back in the computer company, they just saw me. I was like a sponge. I just soaked everything up. And I wanted to know about sales. I wanted to know about the psyche of people, why they buy things. I wanted to know why people do the things that they do. You know, do they buy with emotion? Do they buy with, you know, facts? Even just kind of going from like a manual inventory system to a computerized one, why do people code, like, you know, in computer programs? So, yeah, and a big part of that was kind of the leadership stuff. So you have to be really good at the doing. You have to be able to manage those resources, but then you've got to lead by example. So it was very early in the piece. And even when I was in the UK, same thing. The business I was working for there kind of said, oh, there isn't anyone in the UK who can actually do this job apart from you, Lisa, all the way from New Zealand. So, you know, it's just, yeah, I do like that side of things.
I think you're right. It is that real balance and the multiple hats that any accountant, any advisor, and especially any business owner has to wear. And earlier in that introduction, you talked about the two types of skills, the technical skills and the life skills. Do you feel to be an effective leader, you need to have the balance of both?
Yeah, totally. I think if you've just got the technical skills, then perhaps you could stretch into management. But leadership is just all about kind of understanding not only what makes you tick, but everyone else. So you do have to be able to understand that human side of things. And that can come from all sorts of skills and senses.
Do you think that anyone can be a leader, or do you believe that leadership is something that you're born with?
Well, could anyone be a leader? Does everyone want to be a leader? So I think, what is that? There are parts inside of you where you could say that you're born to lead, and you'll show those sort of strengths as you kind of work with teams, as you evolve through, you know, your decades with your life experiences and things like that. But I think if someone has got some really good talents and some inklings towards that sort of thing, I think you can teach them. You know, like they could be taught by a mentor, or they could be taught by, you know, leadership, you know, education facility that actually provides that teaching. So I think if you want it, everyone's teachable.
Definitely. No, I totally agree. And are you aware of the concept of the hero's journey at all?
Take me back.
There was a book by a guy called Joseph Campbell, I believe, in the 90s called The Hero's Journey. And I always apply it to superheroes. I know we're going to come on to the onto the superhero side of things, because that's exactly what you are at a Go Figure. But effectively, the hero's journey is the journey that anyone goes on who will be a superhero. And there's a lot more complexity than there is for this podcast, especially because it's about you, not me. But effectively, you will many stories throughout history, any superhero movie, Harry Potter, Star Wars, The Lion King, even you have this person who is at their heart a heroic leader who goes on their journey. But very often they're reluctant. They start the journey not believing in themselves. You've got the mentor type person saying, you're a wizard, Harry. And the person saying, well, no, I'm not. I don't have that. And I believe part of the great work that I know you do and the wider accounting societies like Attains do, it's helping people uncover their true leadership talents and helping them see that they do have superpowers. They are heroes. And I think you're totally right that anyone can be taught if they're willing to go on that journey.
Yeah, I really like that analogy. The same thing I think can be said of an anti-hero. You know, like if we look at something like Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
You know how like that kind of hero starts off as mild-mannered and still not believing in what they do, and then they get totally broken down by life, and then they rebuild themselves into something that's kind of, okay, maybe in that context it's a little bit out there, but again, he built himself up to be like this massive kind of anti-hero, but still, you know, fighting the good fight for what he actually believed in. So I think we all get broken down sometimes by our failures, and then it's kind of the 24th hour or the 12th hour is that's the success story.
Exactly. No, I 100% agree with that. They say in life and in any hero's journey, the hero and the villain both start off life as the victim, and it's the decisions they make when life has done things to them. It's do I go and be a hero or do I go and be a villain? And I think you're totally right. It's when we sometimes get broken down to our lowest points, that's when the opportunity is there to rise like a phoenix from the ashes and be the person that we were always meant to be.
Always meant to be. Totally agree.
Love it. So where we're going, certainly on our own heroic journey here, which I absolutely love. I want to again touch on something that you said right at the start that I absolutely loved. And you said it much more eloquently than I'm about to repeat it. But around what do you do that nobody else does that you can sell? And as you said, it was around 2002 when you experienced that redundancy. Yeah. And then you faced that question. And what was that time of life like for you? Was it scary? Was it confusing? Was it exciting? And what were you going through in that part of that change?
Yeah, it was a little scary. I've always been someone's, the leader of the business. I've been their right-hand girl, right-hand man. Doesn't really matter, gender. but, sort of going out on your own and doing it, could I do it? But a big driver for me was that I just didn't want one person responsible for my mortgage. And I think that fiercely independent thing came out again. Oh, my goodness, all of a sudden I'm relying on one person for the roof over my head. And actually, you need to rely on yourself. So once I got like my first contract going out there and doing kind of systemization and accounting for small businesses mobile, so I'd go out to their site to actually do it. I got that one, and then they were like, wow, this is really amazing. And they'd tell 10 friends, and before I knew it, I had 55, 60 hours of work a week. And I was running around Wellington, Lower Hutt, Petone, Porirua, kind of just pretty much scragging myself out, but actually doing what I loved, so making a difference. So I really did love that back then.
And how that must have been a roller coaster ride, going from that period of uncertainty to having all this very rapid success. Were there any growing pains, as you say, running around with all these clients and trying to manage it all and your time and everything else?
I had really low overheads, right? So, because I'm actually using their desk, their stationary, their power, their everything. And this is before the cloud, right? So these were desktop softwares that no one else could use. So I found that actually the income less expenses and the profitability was quite good for my mortgage. I like that. And the growing pains came when I realized that there were some things I did for clients that I could actually replicate by training perhaps an accounting student. And so, you know, I didn't have to do all the data entry or the credit card receipts and things like that. So I could actually get someone and train them how to do it because I'd systemized it so much. And then I could just actually focus on analyzing the results and, you know, going through the reports with the business owner rather than actually, hang on a minute, don't ask me, I've got to do payroll. So the growing pains were probably around making those first hires, training staff who are interested in learning, but, you know, this isn't a career for them. So maybe they haven't got skin in the game. So you've got all those blips of, you know, training people and they're not really interested or they get sick before exams and then they can't turn up to site. So those were the growing pains. The money was great. The jobs were really interesting. The clients loved you because you were the pay lady, right? When you walked in, oh, be nice to Lisa. She's the pay lady. And it's like, what? You wouldn't be nice to me if I wasn't? So, yeah, the growing pains were just around kind of the whole staff stuff. Yeah. Which just gets a different kind of growing pain as the business evolves.
Definitely. And I think as to pick up on something you said earlier about not wanting one client or one person being responsible for paying your mortgage, and also potentially with having one staff member who's responsible for a lot. And I'm always reminded of one of my favorite quotes, which is, if you are scared of losing something, then you're letting that thing control you. And it fits, yeah, if you've got one client that you're scared of losing, then really you're letting them control you or any kind of relationship or anything. So it's, as part of your business growth journey, how much of it was by design, or was it very much a case of, we're at this stage now, it makes sense to go and do this? Or was there something like a 5-year strategy that you were working through?
Well, probably for the first couple of years, it was me and team. I did work with results.com quite early in the piece. I think this was around about 2006, and they're a really sort of high performing coaching company. So there was definitely strategy, execution, discussions, leadership, HR, that sort of stuff was discussed. And if issues had come up around how do you deal with conflict with team and all that sort of stuff, you know, I worked through all of that with them. So I learned a lot. And I think by 2007, it became really apparent that this whole mobile thing and kind of working out everyone else's cave wasn't really the best for our internal team culture. You know, like every slug needs a snail house. So we got our own digs in 2007, 2008, and that was a game changer for us in terms of having our own space and culture. We could slap up all the superheroes on the wall. And, you know, kind of like we're a real business now, Charlie Brown, you know, and I had to get into things like public speaking, BNI, going out there and doing business development calls. You just kind of, I mean, there is nothing nicer than wrestling a zero ledger that's being left to go to wreck and ruin and doing your bank recs and your fixed assets and your GSTs and your NPA pack. Oh, that's very, very exciting. But kind of having to go out there and do a presentation and explain to people and show them and kind of sell yourself, you know, that was a big change as well, and rely on the fact that the team back at the office were actually delivering the brand promise and not kind of like clawing each other's eyes out. So, yeah, I mean, there was a strategy, but some of it was evolution.
I see that. And that's the, I suppose, the beauty of a successful business is having a strategy, but also the flexibility to adjust that as you go. And I have to ask as well, Lisa, as you were saying, that more personal shift that you had to make in terms of putting yourself out there more and more speeches, more meetings, more BNI. I know many people in the accounting and advisory industry, that would strike fear into their hearts in terms of, I know I should put myself out there, but now I need to go and do it. And firstly, was that scary for you? And secondly, how did you push past that to make it happen?
It was scary. I hope you won't be too surprised by this, but I'm actually really, really shy.
No, surely not.
Oh,
you're natural at this, though.
Oh, now I am. Have you seen my TikTok channel?
I'm definitely going to be on there straight after this.
And I dropped the F-bomb. it was pretty scary back in the early days because, yeah, you're right. Not all accountants are sort of, you know, flashy or flamboyant or kind of, you know, look at me. I've got something to say. I've got something to sell. I've got something you need. So you probably had to do quite a work, but I think it's like rinse and repeat. You're just going to keep putting yourself out there, but it takes a lot of energy. I think, you know, we've kind of struck people who you might think are extroverts versus introverts, and I'm right on the middle. So I could go 1 degree to be extrovert and 1 degree to be introvert. So I have to bring all this energy to do all of this sort of stuff, and then I'll just go home and collapse on the sofa. Binge out on EastEnders and Coronation Street later on. And that's my way of kind of like rebuilding up my reserves.
I love it. You should see me after doing one of these podcasts. I'll be flat out for 24 hours after this, just eating ice cream out of the tub and, yeah, watching Home and Away. And that's all my secrets in my closet. Quick pause to tell you something that I am so excited about. I have launched the Professional Superheroes Mastermind Group. This is where professionals work directly with me to develop the knowledge, habits, and mindset to get unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed at work and at home. There is nothing like this on the planet. It is mind-blowing how much fun this is and just how big a shift people are experiencing. We turn you into the professional superhero that you were always meant to be. If you want more information and to join, then drop me an email at hello@freddiembennett.com. That's hello@freddiembennett.com. I can't wait to see you in there. Now, let's get back to the episode. Lisa, I'm loving this conversation. Let's look at the present now and our present day go figure. And firstly, I love everything about your business. And what I really, really love is the way that you are unashamedly quite bold about who you are. And you know, you say things like, we're not just your accountants, we're your superheroes. And I love the whole superhero vibe that goes through the business. Again, what brought that about to be kind of very, I hate using the word authentic, but it's very, you know, I prefer to talk about clarity rather than authenticity. But you've been very bold in terms of, this is who we are, this is what we do, and we're damn proud of it. And how did that come about?
Well, I was, so I did mention before that I was doing results.com, and also around about the same time, one of the clients that I worked with, Cato Partners, were really good around identity management, corporate communications for their clients. And Cam actually said to me, oh my God, you can't call yourself the small business resource. He said, TSBR Limited, that's really, really boring. You need something really snappy, something that's you, something that pretty much just epitomizes how you do work and how it makes your clients feel. And so they were the ones that we did a naming identity exercise, and we came up with a very sort of cheeky kind of go figure, leaping tall buildings or leaping multiple GST returns in a single bound, because, you know, seemingly they all need to be filed on the same day, but actually you can file them earlier, just saying, clients.
Yeah.
out there. Yeah, so it was quite early into the piece, a really big part of our strategy, I guess a really big part of marketing, which my dad was an art director in an advertising company, so I kind of had that creative bent. You know, it wasn't just all about the numbers. And I also learned really early on that cartoons, kids, pets, sex, and superheroes sell.
And that's what I call a weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, so seemingly take a unsexy topic like accounting or, you know, back in the day, bookkeeping or doing your GST return, and what would it take to make it easy? What would it take for people to actually stop and look and go, shit, I need some of that?
And I think that is such a powerful lesson for any accounting firm or accountant or bookkeeper that's listening. We kind of tell ourselves a story sometimes, I believe, that we all know it's a traditionally conservative, the small C industry, and we all have the stereotype of the accountant or the bookkeeper. But I believe now this is such an amazing opportunity to be bold, to be different, to be a little bit out there. Because I think it's, if you can be clear and slightly different with who you are, then there's such an opportunity for growth and to really make your mark, not just with clients and businesses and communities, but also within the industry as well.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and perhaps we'll get to that, but, you know, there are quite a few industry players. I hazard to say that it's actually because I've made the industry all by myself, I might add, you know, so interesting, sexy and fun that so many people want to actually get into it, and the fact that cloud's so easy to adopt. But, you know, so that's, you do have to differentiate your practice. Otherwise, you could be sort of seen as, you know, a bit sort of formula, a bit, you know, like, what's a USP? What is a USP? What makes you unique? And so I had to do something, and that just seemed to fit. And we've been running with it for, 20 years.
Amazing. And I think it's extra powerful. A concept I was playing with that I picked up somewhere was, I heard that someone say that we live in a post-factual world now. Effectively, that was saying, if people just want facts and figures, they can go and get them for free. They can get them from any different place. It's very much a commodity. And that can be difficult for accountants who very much have a business based on facts and figures. So how do you differentiate yourself? You have to attach a story to those facts and figures. And it is the story that you tell, like the superhero on the journey. It is the story that you're able to tell that can really pull people into your world. And I say in this post-factual land that we're supposedly living with, I believe that having a powerful story and a powerful message is more important than ever.
So is that kind of like the difference between quantitative and qualitative? Because we could all serve up a profit and loss in a balance sheet.
Yeah.
But unless someone knows what it actually means, like, and what's gone in behind it, what's going to happen in your fee income forecast in the future, and really what else is going on for the business, that's the qualitative side of things. So it is the missing piece.
Yeah, exactly. And I see a lot that many, especially from a client point of view, they almost commoditize accountants. It's just that kind of accountants are all the same. They're all everywhere. I'll just ask my friend who they're using and I'll go and use the same one. It's just an accountant that I get an email from a few times a year. But what can really differentiate accounting firms is, as you say, that qualitative aspect, is the story, the wisdom. I think a lot of accountants focus just on giving knowledge to clients, but really they've got so much wisdom. So that's what I say, we come back to the superheroes. Accountants are the superheroes of the business world. They can do things other people can't do. They can see things other people can't see. They have these superpowers, and this is their opportunity to share these superpowers to literally, I'm not being too melodramatic, yet they're certainly saving businesses, if not saving lives as well, certainly saving marriages. They have these amazing abilities to be able to change lives, save marriages and so on. But they have to be shouting about it and telling that story. And these kinds of things do not just happen in the balance sheet. They happen here in the real world. And that's the amazing power that accountants have. But as we know, with great power comes great responsibility.
Great responsibility and accountability.
Definitely.
But there is so much noise out there, isn't there? So, you know, people are listening or getting their information served up to them and all sorts of things. You know, like Facebook sometimes, the amount of questions that are asked in these Facebook business groups, you know, what do I do about tax? How much money do I put aside? You know, everyone's piling on with an opinion. So I can see why it's really difficult for business owners or potential new business owners to cut through the noise. So, your superhero message or your bat signal that you send out has got to be loud and proud.
I love it, definitely. And in terms of the wider community and the wider industry that you are also a superhero for, Attains, which for non-New Zealand listeners is the Accountants and Tax Agent Institute of New Zealand. Can you share with us a bit about your role within the organisation and what the organisation does as well?
Great. Yeah, no, fantastic question. We are a professional membership body for exactly that, accountants and tax agents in New Zealand. You'll find that there's things like, the Chartered Accountants Network, CANS, there's CPA for Certified Practicing Accountants. It's sort of Australia, but it's in New Zealand as well. And then we have the third, accounting membership, which is TAINS. Mm. I've been a board member since, it was just post-COVID, actually. Good time. Good times. And we get together very regularly, sort of six times a year, face-to-face meetings. We have like a two-day conference that's about as, fabulous as the GAP conference that we attended last year in Wellington. And we have a one-day workshop, and we have regional networks all through New Zealand where members can get together face-to-face and ask technical tax questions or accounting and advisory. So we're all about, continuous professional development, educating our members, making sure that professional standards are sort of like up there. If people are going to go, if business owners are going to go, oh, I need to have a CA sign off my accounts, there's absolutely no reason why they can't have an TAINS member, on their accounts. You actually want someone who is who belongs to a membership body because they are being kept accountable. So the work that we do on the board, making sure that we do all this for New Zealand's membership is it's like really, really important. It's the altruistic, it's the giving back. But we're just so damn proud of what we've actually achieved for our accountants and tax agent community in New Zealand, because we are a voice for small business, and Inland Revenue takes us seriously and even has a laugh with us. And they ask us to attend all their kind of high-powered sort of, policy and process or procedural type meetings. So we can tell them, right, you might be thinking that's a good idea, okay, but this is how it would actually work in practice. Mm. And as you can see, that won't. So can we dial it back? Can we do this? Can we try that? See? And then they really love the fact that we've got that real-time experience and that we have that close connection with our clients as well. So we represent a huge proportion of taxpayers in New Zealand in the small business community, which is what, 97% of New Zealand.
Mm.
So we do an awful lot.
And it's such powerful work that you do, I think, as you say, both from that aspect of supporting small businesses, having the accountability, the guidance, the knowledge for accountants and tax agents in New Zealand, and also be able to have a laugh with the Inland Revenue. That is true superpowers, which anyone that's able to continuously give our friends at the Inland Revenue a dose of common sense is always much appreciated. So I think the whole country owes you a debt of gratitude there, that's for sure.
No, it's no problem. I mean, I do get told off from time to time, stop flirting with Grant, Lisa, and it's kind of like, nah, he loves it.
I love it, definitely. And in your, I suppose, with these different lenses, and again, they're the different hats that you wear now, if we start to cast our eye to the future, let's look at accountants first and the accounting industry. What do you think the future looks like for accountants and that industry?
Well, data analytics and business intelligence, there's that saying, he, she who holds the most data or has the most access to data kind of wins. Mm. So I think that's unavoidable. And in the future, yes, there's loads of tools that we can actually use to enhance our current cloud technology. But I think anyone who's in business out there not availing themselves upon, as many software tools or accounting advice from people who use these tools, or even demonstrating that they're running these kind of, high-performing cloud tech accounting practices, I think you're going to struggle. I do think it's going to be a case of the fast eating the slow as opposed to the big eating the small. You have to show sort of like agility and resilience and that adaptability to be able to like learn more, learn, you can never have that I know mentality because you don't, something new's come out like, 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So there's just this constant moving in an upward trajectory, because if you're not, then you're declining.
Mm.
So, it is about keeping pace, learning all the time, dedicating on a daily basis to, you know, for example, here at Go Figure, everyone here spends an hour or more a day, 5 days a week, learning something. So CPD is a really big part of what we do. And then we talk about it, you know, like, which client would that work for? What's that going to mean? We need to get ahead of that so that we're actually surfacing solutions for potential problems now, not leaving it till September.
Mm.
So I think you have to bring a lot of energy and you've got to stay focused. And I think you've probably got to be quite balanced. Otherwise, if you get really tired, then you go on a downward spiral and that's no good to anyone. And if other people are coming into the accounting industry, they've got to do all that too. So I would really hate to think that anyone thinks, you know, being an accountant is easy or, you know, being an adult is hard. Being a business owner is exceptionally hard. You kind of like, you're fooling no one if you think it's easy. Mm. And you just have to be ready to, you know, work with that.
Definitely. No, I totally agree. And I'm still looking at the future. What does the future hold for Lisa Martin and for Go Figure?
I I'm sure you know this, but you know how the accounting industry in New Zealand is unregulated? Mm. Like anyone can call themselves an accountant.
Yeah.
And so perhaps, 97% of the small business population out there who kind of think, I just need a tax return. Well, actually, you need so much more than that. Mm. But let's just park it there for a second. Where are you going to get this tax return from? And I kind of feel that I'm just so passionate about this topic, and I think Attains is too, that we would like to see that if anyone is out there calling themselves an accountant or doing accounting for small business, or they are just kind of helping their 10 mates out with a tax return and that's it, mm. because someone sees it as a grudge compliance, I don't want to pay for it, or I want to just $75 plus GST, thanks, that's all I want to pay for it. We would like those people to belong to a professional organisation, and chances are it's probably not going to be CANS or CPA, right, because they're not going to spend the years of postgrad study. Or if you want to, by all means, I'm happy to have a chat. I've done it.
Yeah.
So we would like to see people belong to a professional membership organisation like Attains. And the reason why is because we keep people accountable to CPD standards.
Mm.
And a code of ethics and a way of operating. And if something does go wrong with that relationship between the taxpayer and this accountant, and I'm just doing little, you know, brackets there, or a tax agent, if something goes wrong, then there's some accountability for the taxpayer to go to the membership organisation and get some callback on perhaps, you know, the conduct or the delivery or the services that were performed. But at the moment, you know, you're kind of stuck if you get bad advice and your biggest investment may well be outside of your house, your business. So why, you know, we want you to be basically working with somebody who is a professional and who is qualified.
Definitely. What an amazing.
All by myself, I'm going to take on, you know, Inland Revenue to make sure that they insist that all accountants and tax agents who don't belong to a professional organisation do belong to at least Attains.
100%. I think that's the best superhero mission. Accountants assemble. That's what we're going to be saying now with Go Figure and Attains. I love it, Lisa. I've loved this conversation. I wish it didn't have to end, to be honest. But unfortunately, good things.
Why does it have to end? I know. So much more I need to say.
I know exactly. All good things must come to an end. That's why we have to have a part two, as they say. Always leave them wanting more.
Okay.
Obviously, we're not quite at the end because, as you all know, the tradition here on Make It Count is the final secret question. And that is where a previous Make It Count guest, it's where the previous Make It Count guest gets to ask a question of the current guest, which obviously, Lisa, is you. So I don't know this as such. I have to delve into my very low-tech email.
Ooh.
And pull it out.
Okay.
So, Lisa,
very exciting.
The suspense is definitely there. So,
hang on, drum roll.
Okay, so this is an interesting one. What has been the most enjoyable, unexpected surprise of your life? What has been the most enjoyable, unexpected surprise of your life? We should probably keep this fairly PG. But
Enjoyable, unexpected.
Mm.
Well, look, I love winning an award. And so we won Zero Bookkeeper of the Year award. Very highly coveted, highly coveted.
Definitely.
And we won it 3 times last decade.
Amazing.
And I think maybe the third time, it was in Brisbane, and we were all dolled up to the nines, and we had like the makeup and the hair, didn't have my tiara on, and the dress and everything like that. And we won again. And it was unexpected, right? Because how could you win it 3 times?
Mm.
And it was just so enjoyable because, let's face it, Zero and winning an award was Zero and Rod Jury and Rod Jury and Craig Hudson and Mel Morris. And, I mean, come on. I mean, all those people, it's just so enjoyable. And, you know, it's, I mean, you go out on a high. Was on a high for days.
I bet.
And the photos looked awesome too.
That's the main thing. I won't turn up unless it's a good photo. And I guess the obvious, I'm allowed to ask a second question because it is my podcast after all. In terms of that success, because you have to call it, you've achieved huge success. I'm a big fan of everything you do and everything that you do with the Tains and Go Figure. And especially if you look at things like those awards, what, apart from being awesome, which you all clearly are, but what would you say is the secret of your success?
You want to give up sometimes, but I think, like, never give up. Mm. And actually, I saw this on this NIAID video movie I watched on the weekend, and she actually said it. And she goes, "You can do anything that you want if you set your mind to it. Never give up. You're never too old to just start." And she said, "It might look like it's a solo job, but it takes a team." Mm. And so that Naya lady was the, the ultra marathon swimmer who went from Cuba to the Keys.
Yes, I saw that. Like, yeah, and she was
something, and she tried it 5 times.
Yeah, and she encountered jellyfish things and all sorts, didn't she?
Yeah, and sharks. There was all sorts of stuff going on. But also when we had our Attains conference, we had Jono Riddler there speaking about his marathon swimming event. And I would say probably would never have watched it, right, except that from a leadership perspective or tenacity or kind of just that discipline. And I mean, what about you kind of, racing around the Sahara Desert? It's the same thing, right?
Definitely.
And I think those messages, they never get old and they are just consistent across anything. So if you ever feel like, this is just too hard and I just can't do it, tomorrow is another day and the sun always does come up. So you might think you're swimming through the night, but, or whatever, but it will come right. So for me, I just, that's the same messaging that sometimes I have to the little voices in your head. Rather than going and living into that whole, "Oh my God, this is just too hard, I need to pull the duvet up," you just have to go, "No, never give up. Never give up."
I love that. Absolutely true. And I say this, I've coming back from running across the Arctic a couple of weeks ago as we recorded this, I've still got my frostbitten finger at the moment. And I totally agree. It's about just
keep... Is it going to fall off?
I hope not. I mean, it wouldn't really affect the podcasting career, but end of it was black and now it's getting less black, which is always, I'm told that's a good thing.
But is promising.
I always believe that just find a way to keep moving forward. I'm a big believer in life, no matter what you've done in life, no matter what life has done to you, the best opportunities are always ahead of you. And it doesn't matter how old you are, no matter what's happened, just keep moving forward. And you are an absolute inspiration to all of us, Lisa, for all of us to never give up, never give in and keep moving forward. And a huge thank you for being here and being part of Make It Count.
Oh, look, honestly, it's a complete delight to be here. And I sort of feel like I've kind of made the royalty of the accounting industry as a thought leader to be invited. So I'm actually more excited than you are, but that's okay. That's
impossible. we must say, we're on Zoom recording this. You are wearing the tiara, which does cement your position as, I believe, the queen of the New Zealand accounting industry. And I feel like I'm in the presence of royalty. Before we do go, Lisa, this has been an amazing conversation. If people want to reach out to you, if they want to see the amazing work you're doing as part of Go Figure, a part of Attains, how do people find you and get in touch?
Aha, well, that's excellent. So don't forget, I'm Lisa Martin on Lisa Martin Go Figure, which is GoFi8URE. On TikTok, on Insta, I wrote this down, Lisa Martin on LinkedIn. I hang out there a lot too. I think someone else said that. www.gofi8ure.co.nz, Lisa at gofigure.co.nz. Always remember the 8, right? Because Lisa at Go Figure, who owns a gym up in Auckland, you don't want to email her. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if you can't find me online. But no stalkers, please.
Yeah, just some advisory there. Please be normal if you do get in touch.
Yeah, if you can be normal, don't be too needy.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, we don't have to be too normal either. Sometimes a bit of uniqueness is a good thing. But I'll make sure we put all those links and addresses in the show notes as well. And also, massive kudos. I think you're the very first guest who has started with you can find me on TikTok, which I absolutely love, and I'm a fellow Instagrammer, and my Instagram is slowly getting more suitable for work, so it's a journey, but I am keeping my clothes on more now these
days. You know, it's the whole shock thing, right? You know, I mean, I do a little dance, Murder on the Dance Floor, you know. I'm not naked like Saltburn, but it was close. It was a close call. We decide, you know.
It's that debate. Yeah, naked or not. And then you think maybe it's best for business if I don't take all of my clothes off.
And also too, I'm unsure that you know, the stalkers would actually come out in force if we didn't do that. I don't mind you asking me, you know, questions around tax. It's always funny though when someone sends you an email and they go, hey, quick question.
Yeah.
Well, it might be quick for you to type it out, but it's not for me to respond to.
Yeah, it's a quick question, but it ain't a quick answer. That's for sure.
Cha-ching!
Yes, exactly. Is that you can get free advice or you can get good advice. It's people generally, and I think for you, Lisa, in terms of giving advice, there is no one better in the business to give not only advice or wisdom. It has been an absolute pleasure having you here on Make It Count. We'll put all those links in the show notes. We have to talk more because I've really, really loved this conversation. I knew it was going to be amazing, but it has been even better than amazing. And it's been a pleasure to have you here. But for now, Lisa, thank you for being part of Make It Count.
Yay!
Yay! Thank you for listening to another show-stopping episode of Make It Count. I would love it if you could give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share this podcast with the world. I am on a mission to get professionals unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed at work and at home. You can join our free Make It Count community. Click the link in the show notes, and you can also follow all of my adventures on Instagram at @TheFreddieBennett. Well, for now, we made it count once again. I've been Freddie Bennett, you have been amazing, and I will see you on the other side.